from coming on this campus from the inner city of Baltimore. She came in saying, I want to be the best. I'm ready to listen. I'm ready to work as hard as any human being can work. I will ask good questions. I will work with people from all kinds of backgrounds. I want to learn, not just for myself, but to help other people.
We are back with more Future Proof, episode number 154, to be exact. I'm Bill Sheridan. Thank you so much for being here. And right there, opening up our show this week, is my guest, Dr. Freeman Hrabowski. He is president of the University of Maryland, Baltimore County, and he recently announced his retirement after 3 decades at the helm of UMBC. He's going to officially step down in June of 2022. There are a million reasons why I wanted to have him on the show this week. Just an amazing leader with some really important lessons for all of us. And we'll get to some of them in just a few minutes. But I wanted to open with that quote for a couple of reasons, really. First of all, because he's talking in that quote specifically about Kimberly Ellison Taylor, who we all know is accounting and finances Wonder Woman, right? She's former chair of the AICPA and the Maryland Association of CPAs and chair of, well, I don't know, way too many organizations to mention. And that clip, actually, it's not from my interview with Dr. Hrabowski. It's from a tribute video about Kimberly. She's a graduate of UMBC, and she and Dr. Hrabowski go way back, and so she's going to join me on today's show too, kind of a twofer for you this week. And like I said, we'll get to that interview here in just a minute. But you know, that opening quote about wanting to be the best and being ready to listen and willing to learn in order to help other people, it got to me a little bit, and it rang a bell for me recently. I've been reading this amazing book called Think Again: The Power of Knowing What You Don't Know. It's by Adam Grant. Great book, by the way. Put it on your list. But there's a passage in that book that reminded me a lot of that quote from Dr. Hrabowski, and I want to read it to you. It's a little long, so bear with me. Again, I'm taking this directly from Adam Grant's book, Think Again. He writes, quote, "My colleagues Amy Wersniewski and James Dutton find that in every line of work, there are people who become active architects of their own jobs. They rethink their roles through job crafting, changing their daily actions to better fit their values, interests, and skills. One of the places that Amy and Jane studied job crafting was in the University of Michigan healthcare system. If you visited a certain floor of the hospital, it wouldn't be long before cancer patients told you how grateful they were for Candace Walker. Her mission was not only to protect their fragile immune systems, it was also to care for their fragile emotions. She called the chemotherapy center there the House of Hope. Candace was often the first one to console families when their loved ones went through treatment. She showed up with bagels and coffee. She would make patients laugh by telling stories about her cats drinking her milk or showing them that she had accidentally put on one brown sock and one blue sock. One day she saw a patient on the floor of an elevator writhing in pain, and the staff members nearby weren't sure what to do. Candace immediately took charge, rushed the woman into a wheelchair, and took her up in the elevator for urgent treatment. The patient later called her my savior. Candace Walker wasn't a doctor or a nurse. She wasn't a social care worker either. She was a custodian. Her official job was to keep the cancer center clean. Candace and her fellow custodians were all hired to do the same job, but some of them ended up rethinking their roles. One cleaner on a long-term intensive care unit took it upon herself to regularly rearrange the paintings on the walls, hoping that a change of scenery might spark some awareness among patients in comas. And when asked about it, she said, "No, it's not part of my job, but it is part of me. Our identities are open systems, and so are our lives. We don't have to stay tethered to old images of where we want to go or who we want to be. The simplest way to start rethinking our options is to question what we do daily. End quote. And again, that's directly from Adam Grant's latest book, Think Again, The Power of Knowing What You Don't Know. That's Candace Walker being, you know, as Dr. Hrabowski said, her best, right? Being ready to listen and work hard and ask good questions and learn. Rethinking her role, not for herself, but to help others. It's a great lesson and one we all could stand to learn, right? And Dr. Hrabowski has lived it. So here's what the Baltimore Sun had to say about him when they were reporting on his upcoming retirement. They write, quote, his achievement in shaping the right academic culture to enable Black, Asian, and Hispanic students from modest backgrounds to excel in the sciences and technology elevated Hrabowski to a national leader in higher education. Despite opportunities to jump to elite institutions, he remained stubbornly loyal to UMBC, committed to transforming the suburban commuter campus into what he believes will soon be recognized as among the nation's top research universities. The campus now educates 14,000 students, that's up from 10,000, and includes a research park with 130 companies. UMBC's graduation rate is now about 70%, up from less than 52% two decades ago. And listen to this, between 2010 and 2019, UMBC had more Black graduates receive doctorates in the sciences and engineering, 146, according to federal government data, than any other university in the nation, eclipsing historically Black colleges and universities like Howard University and academic powerhouses like the Massachusetts Institute of Technology and Cornell University. End quote, again, from the Baltimore Sun. Yeah, you know, he's a leader in every sense of the word, particularly when it comes to educating and graduating an incredibly diverse and inclusive student body. So yeah, of course, I wanted to talk to him. And of course, I wanted y'all to hear what he has to say. Really good stuff. The fact that he, you know, also had some interesting things to say about accounting and finance, and that he said it all with Kimberly Ellison Taylor, makes this a conversation to remember. So settle in and take a listen to a really great conversation with Dr. Freeman Hrabowski and Kimberly Ellison Taylor.
Hi there.
Hey, Kimberly. Hrabowski.
How are you?
How are you? That's the question. How are you doing?
Kimberly, you look fabulous. You look fabulous. Good to see you.
Good. I looked at that video of you and said, how in the world is Dr. Hrabowski looking so amazing? I need your secrets. I'm going to get out there. If you're walking, now you're going to have some more time next year.
Right. Believe it or not, I won't even have more time, but at least it'll be a different experience, you know?
Oh, my God. Okay, so Dr. Hrabowski.
Yes.
I was just saying to Bill, Bill Sheridan works at the Maryland Association of CPAs, and we are just so proud.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much.
So I can't believe, first of all, when is the date that you started at UMBC? That's what Bill and I were just trying to figure out. What's the date?
I started in April 1st, 1987.
Ah!
April Fool's Day.
Okay. Well, that was no joke for sure.
No, it was no joke. Exactly.
I said to Bill, I started in 1988.
Wow.
And I said, I feel like you have been there
when I was a few months. That's right.
And I said, you cared. There are people who tell stories of you went to their house and talked to their parents about them coming to UMBC.
Sure. So you're absolutely right. Yeah.
On all of those things. And I said to Bill, Bill, Dr. Hrabowski is proud of his alum.
Proud. Very much.
We have done, based on your amazing role model and track record, some amazing things. So over 30 years, what comes to mind most immediately, Doc?
It would be how well our graduates are doing now. Very much so. in all types of academic disciplines, all kinds of types of professions now. It is amazing to see the difference they're making in the lives of large numbers of people. That is by far the greatest accomplishment I could ever have.
It is so amazing when I think about coming on campus from the inner city.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
There are few places that could have taken a little girl who was like clay, willing to be molded, you know, my confidence that I needed to go into the world.
Yes, yes, yes.
UMBC provided such an amazing foundation. And so I talk about that story of growing up in the inner city of Baltimore, yes, coming from a different socioeconomic background,
yes,
coming to UMBC, having really not had any exposure to people that were that much different than me, other than my teachers.
Sure.
Just absolutely amazing. So I'm going to let Bill ask some questions. Otherwise, we know we have you only for a little bit, and we want to manage the time. Otherwise, I'd be talking to you for a long time.
Let me just say, Kevin, though, you were magical from the beginning. I mean, you were magical. If you were clay, you were magical clay. There was something about your spirit. Exactly.
Oh, thank you.
Tell me a little bit about that, Dr. Hrabowski.
Yeah.
The connection with Kimberly right from the beginning, because that was evident. I mean, we interviewed you for a video that we did about Kimberly becoming chair of the AICPA, and it was so clear that there was a connection there. Tell me a little bit about that.
Oh, yeah. And I remember when we did that video, I just remembered her evolution over the years. And what I remembered most about Kimberly was that she had this joie de vivre spirit, this joy of life. Mm-hmm. And she was ready. She was ready to soak it in. She was saying, this is different. You see people from all over the world here, right? And you see people mixing it up, different races and people with different levels of experience about what happens in the world. People who are travelers, people who are, quite frankly, children of military people, of the intelligence community. And she was coming from inner city Baltimore and had not had those experiences. But she was not intimidated. She was saying, I want to learn. I want to get it. I mean, teach me. I mean, she had that. And I remember thinking, anybody with this kind of brightness of mind and this attitude that says, I can do it, can do it. And that was what I've always remembered, that from the beginning, she was saying, I want to learn. I want to do it all. I want to be the best. She had that. And she had been the valedictorian from her school. I'll never forget that.
Yes, right? That's true.
Yeah. And that's what you look for as an educator. When you look for your students, you look for those people, right?
Yeah. You know, so I can say, I mean, I would have said some students, even being there, be like her. Be like her. You know, don't be the victim. Don't be the victim.
No.
Come in. No, I can do this. Give me support and I will do this. And that's that attitude, that sense of self that her family gave her, or teachers. She came here with that, you know, and that's what educators need. They want to be able to help young people to have that sense of self.
And she does. Yeah. So I think my first question for you is, one of the things that stands out about your tenure is your commitment to kind of building a student body that reflects the values of diversity and equity. Yeah. Inclusion. And I guess my question is UMBC at a point now in this area that you had hoped that it would be when you started?
Oh, it's much further ahead than I could have ever imagined. We are now a national model of inclusive excellence. Mm-hmm. You will see in all types of publications, we will come out being in the top 10 in innovation, the top 10 in quality of teaching. And we have a student body that reflects humankind. Half of our students, more than half, have at least one parent from another country. Wow. And that's of every race. So whether from an African country, from the islands, from Europe, from an Asian country. And at the same time, we have wonderful young people coming out of the inner city Baltimore, or from New York City, or from the Eastern Shore of Maryland. So we can talk about both international diversity and domestic diversity in a range of, whether talking about religion or race or gender, LGBTQ, in every possible way, you will find those human experiences on our campus. And then most important, you will find students excelling from all backgrounds. There is no achievement gap on our campus. The graduation rates are very much the same. And 40% go immediately to grad school or professional school. And we keep talking about that. And so, and during COVID, our graduates were shining brightly. The woman who created the vaccine, quite frankly, yes, is a UMBC graduate, Dr. Kismikia Corbett. And she's the first Black and first Black woman in the world, first Black woman rather, to create a vaccine. And she's now moved from NIH, where she worked with the team to create the vaccine. She's now at Harvard. We have students, graduates of all races on faculties at Harvard and Duke and Stanford and Hopkins all around. And then working in industry and on corporate boards like Kimberly Ellison. I'm very proud of Kimberly Ellison. I'm very proud of her. Yeah. So it's a great story. The head of APL at Hopkins, Applied Physics Lab, is a UMBC graduate, a PhD in computer science. The president of Clemson, first young, just a wonderful young white kid, working class family, first in his family to go to college, now the president of Clemson. You know, so great
but example. How does that happen? So Dr. Hrabowski, if someone were asking you, what is the recipe? Because you're the master chef. What is the recipe?
You know,
I mean, you've been asked, I bet you've been profiled all over the world.
Right.
You've gone all over the world. People brought you in to teach their executives, corporate executives.
Yes.
What is the recipe? What advice do you give these other organizations on how they can replicate that success?
Sure. The first sentence in our new book that my colleagues and I wrote called The Empowered University says, it's not about me, it's about us. It's not about me, it's about us. So the first thing I'm saying is that in our society, we tend to think of leadership in terms of the one person, of a country, of a university, of a company. And that person is important, but it's a team of people working together to have a vision somehow. And then you work together to implement the vision. And the recipe I talk about in my TED Talk on success in STEM areas, and it's true in life, and that is the high expectations, building a community of people who believe in the same thing. It's that it takes professionals to produce professionals, whether in accounting or in science. You've got to have people in that area who will pull people along in one way or the other. And then you have to evaluate. You have to be very honest in evaluating what's working and what's not. So what's been the recipe? It's been people who care deeply about our students, and who understand that you can get somebody from any background. And if that person has the right attitude and a set of skills, you can build them and shape them to be the best. And that is the recipe for all of this.
That is, you know what, Dr. Hrabowski? I think that's 100% true. I think so many times we are thinking, because we have pipeline concerns in the accounting profession, we have pipeline concerns in the technology arena.
We're looking
for people. And so I'm hoping that expands the pipeline.
Yes.
And I've said we have to look for uncommon talent and uncommon places,
places
where you wouldn't ordinarily go. So don't write off the inner city of Baltimore, some rural area, because they didn't go to the school that you thought they should have gone to.
That's right.
And
that's
so I'm excited about the work that UMBC has done. And I guess when we think about all of the CPAs that came through UMBC, they majored in economics. Because economics was the path through UMBC.
And so
I'm just really proud of the work that we've done in this area. And I know, Bill, when you've been talking about, you know, what Maryland is doing to help our citizens, help our residents. Dr. Hrabowski, can you talk a little bit about the incubation labs and all the entrepreneurial things?
Sure.
So we're helping students and we're helping the business community.
Oh, yeah. We have 120 plus companies on campus. These are incubator companies, heavily in technology, in biotech and in IT areas, with a heavy concentration of cybersecurity companies. We are one of the leading producers of talent for the National Security Agency. Over 1,200 of our graduates are at NSA right now. And what's significant about that is a number of these companies have big partnerships, contracts between NSA. We have a training company in Howard County that literally has 6,000+ students or slash customers who work to get training in the technology space. And that's in cyber, in AI, in data science, in those kinds of areas. And we have major contracts with the Department of Defense, with NSA, around the world in training people. And some of these students in the training company have a degree in English and they want to get into technology. Or they have a GED and they want to get into technology. Or they are a veteran and they want to get into technology. And some of them will get certificates through that program and then come to the university, you see. So the point I would make to you is that there's an ecosystem we have in Maryland with research parks in several of the campuses, including ours, with training companies, with the kinds of credentials that are stackable. That degrees are one thing, but you can also have people with certificates that can confirm that they have certain kinds of training. Now, accounting is one of those areas that people know too little about. Let me just say that. Because you went to another level of so many credits, 150 credits, right? And all of that. Yes. And what I say about accounting is what I say about mathematics. I'm a mathematician. One has to be able to read and think well. And there's a certain level of quantitative skills one needs. And I'm saying the pre-calculus, algebraic kinds of things, the word problems are really critical. The reason I know that is I've served on a number of audit committees. A company from an energy company, I'm T. Rowe Price, McCormick, and I realized how little I knew about accounting. So I went and started reading accounting books, and I ended up telling all my friends, these are really fun, because it was math to me. It was
only you would say it was fun, Dr. Hrabowski.
It was fun. It was great word problems. They were wonderful. But it taught me that we have to teach students to read critically, to have those quantitative skills, that pre-calculus kind of background, the algebra word problems, because you're looking at language and the quantitative side. And just as we do in auditing, when you come to our campus and work with us on issues in fraud and everything else, and when you've done that, coming to teach with my auditing group, right? It's a matter of people looking at those kinds of cases. And what I would say about the pipeline is this. I was talking with our career center. She was talking about the numbers of people who get into this space, into the accounting space. And she said several things. She said, you know, Kimberly is so committed to this that she literally sponsored two students, young students of color, to go to a conference in another state, Arizona or someplace, right?
Yes,
and they
yes.
were so excited about that. And I said, now there's something we need to be doing. We need accounting firms and accountants looking at several things. One, supporting students through scholarships, because it takes more time. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about 150 credits. It takes more time to do economics and accounting or economics, accounting, and some technology, right? Mentoring, internships, right? Mm-hmm. And then coming and just speaking about the field, because people don't know all the ways in which accountants can be very helpful, very much so. When I look at the people with whom I work in where I'm serving on corporate boards, mm-hmm. and I look at all of the different kinds of roles they have, whether they are the CFO or they are in technology and accounting together, you know, or they are working down in the real work of accounting, they have great opportunities. A lot of people don't know about those opportunities. You know, we have people knowing more about technology now than about what an accountant does. And I know you speak about this all over, but I would say we've got an accounting club. It should be more diverse than it is. Mm-hmm. Given our diversity, that means our making special initiatives. We need people who are from organizations, employers to say, we want to come and have our presence on your campus and be known for the diversity pieces. Let me tell you, the defense industry, the people at Northrop Grumman have come to campus and they brought women and people of color to say, we've got to look at all these people and we want people in technology and cybersecurity and engineering. We need the accounting firms coming and saying, to do that, we produce about 30% of the technology graduates in the state of Maryland. Many of those could be doing accounting in addition to the technology. They've got the skills. They just need to take some courses and have internships to learn about it. So think of that ecosystem involving training companies or UMBC, Research Park, but employers who will work with us to pull more people into the work. It takes professionals to produce professionals. That's the point.
That is outstanding.
Yeah. And you know, I was going to follow up on that because, I mean, during the video that you did Kimberly a couple of years ago, you used that, and I think it was pretty close to being a quote. You said everyone should take at least one course in accounting.
I do believe
in
that.
Their lives. I'm wondering why you think that. What's sure. the importance of accounting?
Let me just say, I work with new presidents around the country and beyond America. And so often presidents come out of provost positions, academic positions, and they know very little about auditing, you see. And I learned as a new president, literally in the early 90s, that I needed to know much more about auditing. Because when that audit tells you, you get close to getting an unsatisfactory audit, you think, what? And the first thing you want to do is point to the CFO and to the administrative side. And when you come to learn about it, you realize, no, it's all of us. Internal controls will involve all of us. It's not just
sounds like somebody's been talking to the doc.
Oh, yeah. And you know, I have my questions. Jim Brady was a big accounting person and chaired a lot of auditing committees in this state. And I was on his audit committee. And I always call it the Bradyan questions. And one of the questions he always asked was, what is it we haven't even thought about? You know, that risk as a factor. But you see, academics, those coming on through the academic ranks as a mathematician, for example, will not necessarily have thought about any of those auditing questions, have not really looked at revenues and expenditures, don't have an understanding of the language. Because what I ended up saying to people that they either liked or didn't is, you know, you look at accounting, it's like it's math with the business terms. But I mean, the word, they're great word problems that you're talking about so often, you know, and for me, I got to the point of just saying, you know, for anybody in life, a course in accounting could be really helpful. It's like literacy. It's like financial literacy. It really could. It teaches you so much about what happens, not just in the business world, but in organizations of any kind. You've got to be able to talk about revenues and expenditures. You have to be able to map what's going on. You've got to know who's doing what, where, and all those kinds of factors. And learning the language of business can be helpful. Particularly when I think about working with leaders. And so I say that to people all over the country all the time.
I think that is a very, very true statement. And I have heard you say that because when I go into the schools and speak to kids about why the accounting profession is one they should consider, I say, even if it's just for your own money,
you should know how to manage your own money.
Because I think it is really, really important. Yeah. And I would also say technology is a great complement because having gone through programming classes, it teaches you to think in a very linear fashion. Mathematics is the same. It's formula based. You won't get the answer if you miss a step.
Yep.
Got to follow the formula. And I would say it provides a great foundation. So you're right.
And, you know, I'm thinking that just in being creative, many more universities are using these courses in financial literacy now. We get grant money from some places to do that for students' orientation. We should be looking at ways of infusing some of the accounting principles into what they're learning in financial literacy. It may be some there now, and I don't know, but I know that is a term you're hearing at universities and schools more and more. The question is, to what extent do those courses use some of the principles of accounting to get people interested in maybe taking a course?
Especially with all of the things going on about student loan debt.
Oh, yeah. Very much so. Places like TI, CREF, and others are giving grants out to grad students, because grad students don't know some of the fundamental things. And quite frankly, when you look at the challenges of people getting credit cards and what happens, and fundamental concepts like compound interest and ways of basic things that people have no idea about. You know, I'll give you just one that you'll appreciate. You hear on TV all the time that something increased by 25% or 30%. Well, if people don't understand that amount of money depends on the base, you know, I could be talking about 100% increase from 1 to 2. You see, you know, so just hearing percent increase does not tell me anything about the relative position, about how much you're talking about. But most people don't even know that. I mean, so this idea that accounting and math concepts and thinking, critical thinking, that's what we're talking about when we're talking about accounting. So it took my reading and sometimes having to ask questions in my reading that gave me greater respect, and being on audit committees gave me much greater
respect. I'm on three audit committees, Doc.
I'm not surprised. I mean, see, you're one of those natural on that. I mean, you got that technology background and the accounting back and the business background. Oh, yeah. But for those of us, and what I was always able to do is to talk about what I've got all these people reporting to me, and I need to know more about what they do. You know, for a college president, it is important. And so I'm saying to young and new presidents, you need to learn auditing. You need to really get into that in accounting. And get so you can use the language and understand the big questions that you need to be able to ask. That's what.
Oh my gosh, I can see that on a shirt, Bill. We got to put it on shirts. And Dr. Hrabowski said this. We got to get it out there because we definitely need support.
It just kind of struck me that I mean, what we're talking about isn't necessarily just about accounting or any strategic thinking or anything. like that, but it's more a question of curiosity, right? It's just having that natural curiosity to ask questions to be curious and want to know more about what's going on with the businesses and the organizations that we serve.
A great point, Bill. I say to my students often something about R.A. Robbie, who was a Nobel laureate in physics in the 40s in New York. He said when he was growing up, all of his friends' mothers would ask them at the end of a school day, what'd you learn in school today? He said, not my Jewish mother. My mother would say, Izzy, did you ask a good question today? Mm. Ah. And the practice of encouraging his curiosity made him the thinker he became. And so we like to think at UMBC, we are an environment that encourages the asking of good questions, mm-hmm. and that no question is crazy, but to get people to open their minds and think about all the possibilities. And in these days when risks is so important, the idea of a risk is so important, and the idea of risk management. We're all doing enterprise risk management now. You know, I mean, universities have become more and more like companies in all those ways. We have to be thinking about what are the big risks and what are the cyber challenges? What are the problems involving hacking? You know, all of these are things, and it really is about having skills, but it's also about having an environment that encourages people to say what they really think and to ask the hard questions, And when they see a presentation, to be able to dive into it and say, but I didn't hear this, or I don't understand this. You know, we need that kind of robust interaction among people as they talk about the running of an organization, whether it's profit or nonprofit, whether it's a university or a company.
I will tell you what.
DNA of an accountant,
Well, I can't tell you how proud I am to be a UMBC alumna. Everywhere I go, I talk about UMBC.
I hear that.
Everyone knows you, Dr. Hrabowski. I'm so proud to call you mentor, have your guidance and influence over 30 years. That's a long time. When I said that, I was like, I'm getting up there.
I know. Listen, you were a middle school student when you came to UMBC.
Yes, that's what I'm going with.
All right.
But what is next? Are you ready to say what's next? I know 1,000 people are going to ask.
Kimberly, your background, what makes you such a broad thinker is you got the technical skills, but you took advantage of the humanities and the social sciences here. You really understand that to be an effective citizen, you need to be able to communicate with people. You have to be able to write well.
Yes.
You need to be able to connect with people from different kinds of backgrounds, to work in groups. You got all of that. I mean, very clearly, you have solved all of what we wanted. And you could take it from there and go to Loyola and Carnegie Mellon and all kinds of places and now be of the world. I mean, that's, so I just had to put that out there. And I want my students, because I'm going to use this podcast to show to my students, whether they're in computer science or economics, that this is what you have to do. You need to bring all those things together. For me, I will be working with university presidents and boards in this country and beyond. I will continue to do some work at Harvard, and I work with different foundations. I'm on the Sloan board in New York and other places, and I'm very proud to be on the boards of McCormick and T. Rowe Price, both of whom are now Fortune 500 companies, very proud of them, who are making progress with diversity, and stocks are doing really well. I mean, from the best in finance to the best in flavor. So
a flavor company. That's a good Maryland company.
Oh,
right?
I'm very proud of all that. I really am, with great leadership there, and really proud that they get some of my best students, you know, and they're moving with it. And I look forward to continuing to talk about the Empowered University. That book, and I have a second book, another book that my colleagues and I are writing with Hopkins Press, that's talking about the post-COVID period.
I can't wait to read it. When will it be available?
It will come out in the next year. We are in it now. We're in the middle of it right now, and it'll be published sometime next year. And the good news is that it really does listen to what we've learned here, but also as I've been working with universities around the country, public and private, what are the lessons we're learning about everything from the academic achievement gap to the use of technology in and out of the classroom to post-COVID life itself. How will it be different?
Wait.
And we're even saying that the term new normal, we have to keep looking at that, because new normal may mean you're just tweaking, and we're going to have to do much more than tweak. There are transformational things going on now that we should take advantage of.
100%. Well, yeah. Bill, I'll let you have some closing thoughts. I've taken all the time on the call because I can't help myself.
No. Not at all. But I you know, this has been a wonderful opportunity to speak with you, Dr. Hrabowski. I'm kind of curious, just to kind of close things up, how would you hope that people will remember your time at UMBC?
If they simply remember that I care, just that simple, that I cared about my students, love my students and my alumni, care deeply about my colleagues, faculty and staff, and about people who want to help others. That is the message for me, to make sure that we are supporting each other and helping to lift each other. That's it. It's that spirit of lifting each other to be better than we thought we could be. I was in Giant Foods the other day, and these alumni came up to me wanting to do our hug, virtual hug like that. But then some people came over to talk to me, and I said, are you all UMBC alumni? They said, no, but we love you too. It was just great. Somebody, just nice people out of the store who work in the store, right? But they know UMBC, and they said, we love UMBC and what you're doing. From the basketball to winning, we beat Yale in the mock trial this year.
There you go.
National championships in mock trial. You got that? In Atlantic champions in cybersecurity. And so the idea of the passion for education, caring about people and being passionate about education and about excellence, inclusive excellence. We can get excellence from every group in a humankind.
Well, thank you, Dr. Hrabowski, for the insights, for your time, and for all you've done for the city and for education in general. Just thank you. I appreciate everything you've done.
I really have enjoyed today. Thank you. And thank you, Bill. Kimberly, we love you at UMBC. Just know that.
Thank you, Dr. Hrabowski. I will be in touch.
I love it. Thank
you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Keep hope alive.
I will. Keep hope alive. Be safe.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Wow, really, really great stuff there this week. That was Dr. Freeman Hrabowski, outgoing president of the University of Maryland, Baltimore County, and Kimberly Ellison Taylor, former AICPA and MACPA chair. You can find out a whole lot more by visiting umbc.edu. And hey, as always, thanks for being here. Looking forward to doing it all again next week. Join me, won't you? And stay safe, stay well. We'll talk soon.